With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Hunters using lead ammunition during the upcoming firearm deer season need to keep in mind the risk of lead exposure. Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board recently heard a presentation on the concern of lead in venison. Brian Weaver of the Department of Health Services recommended lead-free ammunition.
There is a concern about it fragmenting and spreading in the deer. And so really what we give is more guidance on, one, if you want to prevent that, use lead-free ammunition. But if you use lead ammunition, then there are steps you can take to specifically address and reduce your risk to exposure of lead in venison.
While lead-free ammunition is the best option, some people won't make the switch because of the cost. Education on reducing the risk is also important.
The reality is that people are using the ammunition. So as a public health perspective, we have to inform and advise the public on how to minimize and reduce the risk. We do the same thing for individuals whose homes are supplied by lead service lines. If they're not removed, we know we can't do it all at once. It'll take time to educate the public, so we educate them on how to reduce their risk.
Lead is a toxic metal that is especially dangerous for children. In addition to the risk to human health, lead ammunition can be a concern for wildlife that may eat deer remains left behind by hunters. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has resumed offering abortions after a nearly month-long pause due to federal Medicaid funding cuts in President Donald Trump's tax and spending bill that took effect at the beginning of October. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin said it was able to resume offering abortions as of noon Monday because it relinquished its status as an essential community provider. The organization says by doing that, it no longer fits the definition of a prohibited entity under the federal law and can receive Medicaid funds. Abortion funding has been under attack across the United States, particularly for Planned Parenthood affiliates, which are the biggest provider. Aspirus Cardiology Services in Rhinelander have a new home. They've been moved into newly constructed space inside Aspirus Rhinelander Hospital. They had previously been housed off-site. Aspirus North Division President Terry Thieler says bringing the cardiology team into the hospital will give patients a more connected experience with immediate access to additional diagnostic and specialty resources. The expanded space includes 9 exam rooms and is close to key hospital services such as imaging, laboratory, emergency care, and urgent care. One person is dead after a fire in Mosinee. The Marathon County Sheriff's Office says the fire happened early Saturday morning. At 12:08 a.m., a report came in of a structure fire on Dalton Drive in the town of Mosinee. The garage and rear portion of the residence were engulfed when deputies arrived. The Mosinee Fire Department and Mosinee Police were already on location. Once the fire was brought under control, one person was found dead inside. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. A former clerk for the town of Bergen in Marathon County was sentenced Monday on embezzlement charges. Glorianne Doyle, age 65, was given 4 years in prison, followed by 2 years of supervised release. She pleaded guilty in August to stealing from both the town and the Wisconsin Valley Art Association. Doyle said she had fallen behind on her finances, including her mortgage, and was using the money to catch up. In addition to prison time, Doyle is required to pay the money back. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. When measuring public health threats, researchers say microplastics have jumped to the top of the list. New samples from a citizen science effort in Minnesota show these tiny particles are present in dozens of waterways. Mike Mullen reports.
Environment Minnesota, part of the Public Interest Network, teamed up with volunteers to collect samples from 41 lakes, rivers, and streams. All but one were analyzed, with detections confirmed across the board. Scientists are learning more about how these fragments, from larger plastic items that break down over time, enter the environment and what the health risks are. Environment Minnesota's Caitlin Rolfes says their results make it clear that freshwater sources aren't immune.
There are microplastics found in our food and in our bodies even, and now we know that they have been found in 40 lakes across the state and likely exist in many, many, many more.
The project tested 4 types of microplastics, including fibers from clothing and textiles, and film used in plastic bags and flexible packaging. Of them, fibers were detected in all 40 of the positive samples. The report says volunteers saw no apparent signs of waste surrounding the waterways in question, underscoring fears that society's heavy reliance on plastics results in these particles appearing almost everywhere. University of Minnesota experts are also investigating the link between microplastics and lakes. For water recreation, they say it's not likely to cause major health problems if only skin exposure is involved. But they point to broader concerns being examined when contaminants make their way inside the body. Rolfes agrees with researchers who say this is something for the public to take seriously.
Microplastic pollution is not an over there problem, it's a right here problem. And we don't have the luxury of carrying a not in my backyard attitude about the pollutant.
Environment Minnesota calls on local governments and state policymakers to adopt measures that would deter companies from mass producing items containing plastic. Cities around the country are looking to modernize their wastewater treatment systems to achieve better results in stopping the flow of this type of pollution, a recommendation also listed in the report. I'm Mike Moen.
Scammers have launched an elaborate scheme in Stevens Point. Mike Leishner explains.
Mayor Mike Wiese says they're going after groups that have pending event or license applications before the city council. Organizers say they've received what appears to be an email from the city telling them they have to make a payment to complete the application, a payment that the scammers would pocket. Wiese says anyone who receives the message should disregard it and contact the city directly if they have any questions about the status of their event or licensing application.
That was Mike Leishner reporting. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.